You're listening to Idaho Matters. I'm Gemma Gaudette. The Idaho Department of Correction is under new leadership after 28 years with the IDOC, 2 years as the director of the Department of Correction. Henry Utencio retired at the end of November, replacing him, Josh Tewalt. He started his new role December 1st. And as the IDOC faces a possible $500 million prison expansion, and many questions are also being asked about Idaho prisoners being held at private prisons in other states. Also, with the state legislature looking closely at justice reform, Tewalt walks into this position with a lot on his plate. He joins me live in studio to talk more. Welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me.
This is a kind of welcome back for you. You joined the department back in 2011. You were appointed deputy chief of prisons at that point.
Correct.
And then went on to a different position. What would you say has changed, but what has stayed the same as you walk back into the IDOC?
Well, I'll start with what's changed. I think the discussion around public safety in Idaho has changed, and I think it's a good direction that it's going. Certainly, we've experienced some growth in prisons. We've experienced growth in the community with the population that we supervise. The list you described of the things I'm walking into can be daunting, but at the same time, it's the perfect time to walk into that because it's the opportunity to have an important conversation about where we're going to go as a criminal justice system, not just the Department of Corrections, but also including our local and elected law enforcement, the judiciary, the legislature, and other stakeholders in building the type of criminal justice system we want in Idaho. So I think that conversation has changed. What's remained the same are just the amazing people that we have working these jobs. They truly are unsung heroes. And I encourage anybody who has the opportunity to get to spend some time with our staff at the Department of Corrections, whether we're talking about the professionals that are working behind the fence in our prisons, whether we're talking about our parole and probation officers out in the community. You can't spend any time with them without, we just know three things are likely to happen. You're going to see staff that genuinely care about what they do, and you can't help but love them for it.
I wanted to ask you as well, a couple of reporters in the Treasure Valley have talked to prisoners who were relocated, in particular to the Eagle Pass prison in Texas, and they talked about fairly deplorable conditions as well as inadequate medical care. We had two state legislators go down there, basically say, it's all fine. It's fine. What's interesting to me about this conversation is that this is not something new in the sense of moving prisoners out of state. We are not the only state that does this. This has been questioned by numerous people over the years. But in particular now, when we have prisoners who are telling media, this and this and this is happening, how do you respond to that walking into this new position?
Well, I respond by first walking into both those facilities in Texas. So day after Christmas, I flew down there, visited both Karnes County Correctional Center and also the Eagle Pass Correctional Facility because I wanted to see for myself. Mm-hmm. I think it's important to talk about how difficult it is to send inmates out of state. It's not just tough on them. It's tough on their families. In a lot of cases, you're removing them from their support systems. You're disrupting what they have going on. And so we have to acknowledge just how difficult of a decision it is to make that. The alternative, though, is that we leave everybody in an environment that's potentially dangerous. We disrupt the services for those folks who are about to be released. So, it's a tough decision to make, but at the same time, it's the best of the worst options when you're facing overcrowding. So I went down there. I talked to our inmates. I spent a couple days with staff, and walking both those facilities. We have a contract with GEO, contracts are pretty black and white. But we contract with organizations, but it's the people that are ultimately going to decide whether they're successful or not. And not one complaint did I field about the on-site facility leadership. about the staff at those facilities. I think our folks, our inmates there, were very complimentary about the relationship that the staff have tried to build with them.
What did you find then about certain complaints? There was one prisoner in particular in a piece that was written by the Idaho Press when they said they'd end up pulling their own tooth out because they didn't have medical services provided. I mean, how does that jive with two legislators going down there and saying, basically, these inmates are over exaggerating?
Well, I think part of it is you have to understand what's driving some of those complaints, mm-hmm. and it's change. It's they were rightfully upset that they had just been moved, and the more time we put between that movement and to today, I think you see more of an acknowledgement that things are going okay. The facilities look good. They're clean. They're well run. But in that process, we made some mistakes, and that's legitimate. You know, in our hurry to get more people out of state, you know, we moved them into a facility the timing couldn't have been worse. They had terrible rains down there, so we weren't able to build out the outdoor recreation opportunities like we had hoped. And so, yeah, they get there, they're at a new facility, they're stuck on their tier, they don't have the opportunity to go outside. Well, you can mm-hmm. certainly understand why they're upset about that, and we have to wear it because that's on us, that those opportunities weren't made available. We had some issues with getting property to them. But you know, I think what we're seeing now is they're starting to also appreciate that we're going to work through those issues. We're going to try to make that, you know, as conducive as we can to include offering the same types of programs and opportunities that they would get here in Idaho, and continue to look for ways to make it easier for them to communicate with their families.
And as you know, in the summer, the State Board of Corrections voted unanimously to move forward with plans for a $500 million prison expansion. Now, this does have to go before the legislature. Mm-hmm. It's going to be asked to be put in the budget with Governor-elect Little. This also happened before you came on board.
Yeah.
Do you think this is the best option when it comes to inmate population?
Well, do we need capacity in our system? Absolutely. We need more beds. But I think we would be doing a disservice to our policymakers if that's what we offered up as the best solution. Mm. It's a part of it. But there really are three points that require investment in the correctional system. There's the front end that helps with the inflow into our prisons. There's the back end that helps people leaving be more successful. And then there's that middle, and that's the infrastructure piece. The reality is we need all three. So what I think you're going to see from us, and I don't want to get in front of Governor Little and his state of the state, but I think it requires a balanced approach where we look at some increased capacity that are the right beds that we need as a system.
And that's critical, right?
I don't
mean to interrupt, but the right beds, because when I had former Director Utensio in here, one of the things he talked about was mental health issues and you know, infirmaries, things like that.
Absolutely. Having the right beds that provide some flexibility as our population dynamics change is critical to the system being successful, because we want to move them through in a series of progression where as they demonstrate the ability to make good decisions, they see their living conditions improve and they feel the reward from that. But that's just one piece of it. If all we talked about were beds, we ignore the fact that between 70-80% of the people that come to us every year are people who mm-hmm. failed supervision, either probation or parole. So that's the answer. We have to focus on the community and the resources we're putting out there to help probationers be successful in satisfying the terms, the conditions of their supervision. But we also have to dedicate resources to reentry to help those people leaving our prisons be productive members of society. And if all we focus on are more beds, then we're going to fill them. That's all we're going to do.
I'm speaking with the new director of the Idaho Department of Correction, Josh T. Walt. He's been on the job for 1 month and 1 day, and a lot going on. One of the other issues is justice reform, and this has been something where I've had many, many legislators come on the program and talk about. You know, one of the things they talk about are mandatory minimums, because as you are very aware of, so many of our prison population comes in because of drug charges. And if it is drug trafficking, then all of a sudden there is a mandatory minimum. And then we see overcrowding even more so. How do things like that play into making sure that we just don't continue to have these numbers of prisoners go up and up and up?
Absolutely. And more important than sentencing, I think, is acknowledging the challenges that we have with the people we're seeing. We talk a lot about that low-level, first-time drug offender mm-hmm. that's sitting in a prison cell. That person's a lot more complicated than that. Drugs may be the underlying issue, but they probably committed four or five felonies to get there. What we need to focus our conversation on is, what do we do with them? Because if you don't treat those underlying factors, all we're doing with incarceration is making them older and angrier by the time they get out. So we have to treat those underlying factors, that addiction, the mental health issues. Mm-hmm. I think we're all to a point where we appreciate we need to provide that treatment. The next step of that conversation is, where's the best place to provide it? Can we provide it in the community and keep them safe and protect the public? Because that's number one. Is keeping the public safe. So is the best place for that to be in prison? Is it a combination of some more robust options out in the community to supplement what may happen in that confined setting?
And talking about mental health, this is a conversation that also continues to come up. And if we don't address that, and if we don't give services, these inmates are going to keep coming back. Same as with drug addiction.
Mm-hmm.
How do you fix it? It seems like a simple question, but it's not.
No, it's not, and the answer isn't the same for everybody, mm-hmm. and that's what makes it so challenging. It's easy if you know everybody could be assessed, and based on this score, we have just the right solution for you. But that's not how it works. That's not how people respond to certain interventions. But I think you also see the relationship between mental health issues and substance abuse. And oftentimes, you may treat the addiction without treating the underlying trauma mm-hmm. that's feeding that addiction. And you know, we're going to keep getting better at it. We have to. And we're getting a lot smarter at how we approach the systems that we put in place to try to help provide treatment for the people that need it. But there's still that, it still goes back to that discussion of where's the best place for that investment. And in a lot of cases, when they get to us, they're broken. And so we have an obligation, we have a responsibility to try to provide opportunities to fix that. Could we save resources? Could we have better outcomes if we're providing those interventions early, and if those early interventions are taking place in the community setting? I think that's where, you know, that those are the types of discussions we need to continue to have, mm-hmm. not just about the right treatment, but where's the best place for them to receive it.
I want to thank you for coming in today and talking with me. An important conversation to be having. The new director of the Idaho Department of Correction, Josh T. Walt, he's been on the job for a little bit more than a month. Thanks so much for coming in and talking today.
Thanks for having me. Anytime.